Thank you very much, Jim. And thank you, Becca. Half that applause was for your dear daughter. She plays well. Wonderful. Jesus Christ is above all. Well, we've come this morning again to looking at the names of believers. And we have about four more this week, next week, and then the Easter Sunday, and then the week after that. Then I go on a short trip to Europe. As we looked at some of these names, we've looked at how these names were given to us from different people. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So that's one of the names. We are branches. We looked at that. In the book of Acts, it says that there in Antioch, they were first called Christians. We looked at Paul, who says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Just as the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so send I you. And this morning, we're looking at a passage in Peter. And this is a pretty famous passage. In fact, rather than writing out the whole thing in the sermon title, I just called it Peter's Great, what did I call it? Peter's Great Declaration or something like that. Right, Peter's Great Declaration. And here he's writing to the early church, the early Christians. He says, but you are, so here are titles. Here are four titles all thrown into one pot. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this is a message this morning to encourage all of you. This is a message for you to revel in, to be amazed that these are things that we are called, of who we are and what we are because of Jesus Christ. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, in a sense, you could say, how did Peter get to this? So let me just start in the very beginning, because he says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are residents as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, those who are chosen. You know, those are regions. Those are not churches. My wife and I have been to Cappadocia. That's central Turkey. South of that is the area called Bithynia. And so these are regions. These are not churches. So he is writing to the Christians, many of them scattered Jews, many of them Gentiles. And he's writing a general letter in a sense, although some people think that Peter has been writing, thinking about the persecution among Jewish believers. But this is just a general letter. He says he's writing to the aliens, the people scattered about in these regions, about who they are and what they have. So, you know, Peter has come a long way. For Peter to write to these people and say to them, many of them Gentiles, you are a chosen race, you are a people for God's own possession, because that's now how it all began. Let's just go back for a minute to Peter's experience. Peter is committed to Jesus Christ. He's been blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost. He preaches about Christ, but he's got a problem. And the problem is in Acts chapter 10, Peter is in an area called Jaffa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while he was making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opening up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowering by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling things or creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came, said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean. And so here was Peter, a good Jewish kosher boy, and he was not going to eat certain things. He was not going to have a ham sandwich. He was not going to eat pork. He was not going to eat shrimp. You know, I didn't eat those things for 20 years. And suddenly he sees these things. He's hungry, and God says, eat this stuff. Here's some pork. Here's some ham. Here's some shrimp. He says, I haven't eaten anything unclean. The voice said to him a second time, what God has called clean, don't longer consider unclean. I'm telling you to eat this. Remember what Jesus said. It's not what goes into a man that defiles the man. It's not eating pork that makes you bad. It's what comes out of the man. And 2 weeks after I was a Christian, I had ham. And it tasted pretty good. Because I realized that Jesus said, Sam, it's not what goes into you that defiles you. Listen, you could eat all the kosher stuff you want. You're still going to hell if your heart's not changed. my niece, who was living with her boyfriend and having sex before marriage, she'd have an ice cream. And before she went into the house, she said, oh, we can't eat, take this ice cream to the house. It's a kosher house and the ice cream is not kosher. So I better not take my kosher ice cream into the house, but they can have sex before marriage. What kind of stupidity is that? So the point is that I have enough problems that it comes out of me. I don't have to be as careful what goes into me. So he says, don't longer consider what's unholy. This happened three times. Immediately the object was taken up to the sky. And then immediately, while Peter's reflecting on the vision, the spirit of him said, behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Some people are calling you. You know who they were? Gentiles. Pork, ham, shrimp, ham sandwich is calling you to eat. No, this is real. This is real. In fact, at one point, Paul had to confront Peter because Peter was being a hypocrite. He was saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, but those Gentiles I'm not so sure about. What kind of a proclamation is that? You can't say that you love God and have the problem with the Gentiles. He says, you're denying the very message you're preaching. Peter went up to the men and says, behold, I am one who are looking for you. What is the reason for what you have called? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a Gentile, this is not a Jew, a centurion, a righteous man, God-fearing man who's spoken by the entire nation of Jews, well spoken of, the Jews know about this man, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and to hear a message from you. But I haven't been in a Gentile house. I don't go to a Gentile house. I don't eat things that are not clean, unclean. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him. He fell down on his feet and he worshiped him. And Peter raised up him up, saying, stand up. I'm a man just as you. Don't bow down to me. And he talked with him. He entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with foreigners who to visit him. Now, that's not wholly true. That's more Pharisaical law. God said that we were not supposed to associate with Gentiles. We're not to intermarry with Gentiles. We're not, but to not associate with them. He says, Jesus said this, I don't take you out of the world just to keep you from the world. Listen, if you're afraid of people who have AIDS and people who are sinners, let me tell you something. You might as well exit right now because everybody else is a sinner. But God brought us into the world to reach the world. This is very interesting because we'll look about how the Jews failed at this. It's unlawful for a Jew to associate with a foreigner to visit him. And yet God has shown to me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Ah, he's got the message. Don't call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. For I asked for what reason you have sent for me. While Peter was still speaking these words and then he preaches to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. They believed in the Christ. He brought about Jesus Christ, that there was the answer in the Christ. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for those to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to stay on for 4 days. And then the next thing you know is that Peter goes and explains these things to the church in Jerusalem, and this is what they said in Acts 11, verse 18. When they heard this is the elders at Jerusalem, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, wow. Like Jack Benny. Wow. 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 God has granted to the Gentiles salvation. Who would have thought? And then Peter writes to these Gentiles, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people of God's own possession, a holy nation. Wow, this guy's come a long way. He's come a long way. He wouldn't associate with them. And now he writes the inspired word of God of who they were and what they'd become. And of course, this is the same Peter that said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He did. He did. He did. So you here you have 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And then he says in verse 10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is a specific, direct quote from the Old Testament, we'll look at in a moment, but it's also picked up by Paul that refers to the Gentiles. You were once not the people of God, but now you are the people of God. You once didn't receive mercy, but now you've received mercy. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, not from among the Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles. Notice Paul is a Jew writing to the Roman church in Rome, who are Gentiles, and he says, and us, you and me, he called not just Jews, but also from among the Gentiles. The Gentiles have been called. And here he quotes the same passage that Peter quotes. And he also said in Hosea, I will call those who are not my people, my people. And to those who are not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in that place where it was said of them, you are not my people, you shall be called the sons of the living God. What then shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. So here is this obvious quote that Paul takes referring to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles who are not the people have received mercy. Let's go to the passage very quickly, Hosea 1. Yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sands of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. Hosea 2, I will sow fur for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And then the most amazing verse, Isaiah 65, verse 1. I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, to a nation which did not call on my name. I mean, here were the Gentiles who were in darkness. They were alienated from God, separate from the commonwealth of Israel. And Isaiah says that God says, I let myself be brought to a people that did not seek for me, a people that did not look for me, and a people that did not, were not a nation to me, that I came and said, here I am, and God reveals himself in Jesus Christ to every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation. I could only say, be amazed that you Gentiles, I mean the guy in Papua New Guinea with no teeth and a bone through his nose, and he says, I love Jesus Christ. A guy who is a former KGB and was out to destroy Christians, that suddenly now he sends her, he says, Zdravstvuyte, spasiba, ochen harasho, I love Jesus Christ. From every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. Gentiles, Asians, Indians, Buddhists, Filipinos, Mexicans, Spaniards, Mesites, Minnesotaites. You know, I went online yesterday. I had to find the name of a Lutheran church. I was giving a concert in Minnesota. And you know that I punched in Lutheran Church, Minnesota? Do you know how many Lutheran churches are in Minnesota? It must be owned by the Lutherans. It was 57 pages of Lutheran churches. Goodness. How do they exist when you're all down here? I know a lot of snowbirds went home this week. I had at least 15 couples tell me last Sunday, back up to Minnesota. I hope it's snowing hard. Okay. Don't tell them I said that. They won't come back. Okay. But Gentiles. And then you have the great passage that Paul writes in Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised, the Jews, uncircumcised. I don't associate with the uncircumcised, which were performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you that were formerly afar off, You didn't seek after me. You didn't look for me. But I came and revealed to you Jesus, my son. You that were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, one, and brought down the barrier of dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make of the two one new man. And the new man is Christ is the new man. He is the head. We are the body. He is the new man, thus establishing peace that has been given to us. And then he says here, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, having to put to death the enmity. So we go back to 1 Peter 2. And Peter writes now to the Gentiles, he writes specifically that these people who did not have mercy were now given mercy, people who are not the people of God, now the people of God. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. First of all, let me tell you, notice these are all quotes. These are quotes from Isaiah 43, Deuteronomy 10, Isaiah 61, Exodus 19, Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy 4. We're not going to go over them. But these are all quotes about from the Old Testament because these were names given to the Jews. The Jews were called a chosen people. The Jews were called a nation. The Jews are given the priesthood. The Jews were a possession of God. These were names given to the Jews. In Isaiah 43, the beast of the field will glorify me, the jackal and the ostrich, because I have given water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and to give drink to my chosen people. To give drink to my chosen people. This is a reference to the Jews here. They are called the chosen people. There's a ministry I've done for a Jewish ministry in New Jersey. I think now they're in North Carolina. Chosen People Ministry. Have you ever heard of that? Chosen People Ministry is specifically geared to reach Jewish people. They're called the Chosen People Ministry. The people whom I have formed for myself. The people who I am formed for myself will declare my praises. God formed the Jewish nation. They will declare my praises. And then he says also, you're not just a people, you're a priesthood. I mean, the Jews were made priests. The priesthood was given to the Jews. In fact, you want to know how important the priesthood is? There's a whole book written for the priesthood. It's called the Book of Leviticus. And the Book of Leviticus means referring to the Levites. Because the Levites were the people that were going to be the mediator between the people of God, the chosen ones, the Jews, and the Almighty, who is going to now have the priest mediate. So here we are. They were given the priesthood. They were also a nation. Look what it says of Abraham. I will make you a great nation. They were a nation. And you will be blessed and make your name great so that you shall be a blessing. So here are the Jews. Here, you're going to be a great nation. It was the Israelites bringing them out of Egypt, all that which was explained to Abraham when he had that vision and the dream. We go back again to 1 Peter. There are people, they're chosen, they're priesthood, they're a nation, and there are people for God's own possession. In Exodus 19, when God brought them out of Sinai, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. You will be, notice, my own possession. So these is verses, these are quotes that are given to the Jewish people as the chosen, as the priest, as the nation, and as a possession of God. Now God's plan was that as he gave and deposited the knowledge of him to the Jews, God's plan was that the Jews would bring it to the whole world. That was God's plan. The Jews would come and bring this message about knowing God and the forgiveness of God and the sacrificial system. There was a way that we would know God and that God would ultimately send someone that he told us who he would send. But the Jews failed at this. But let me just show you some verses here about how there were many Jews, not all the Jews, who realized this. This is David and Goliath. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This is David speaking to Goliath. And I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead body of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth. Why, David? Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David had a missionary view. That all the earth, he says, you know, not this, oh, so that we know that God's on our side and God's not on your side, and we are the Christians and you're not, and you're going to hell and we're going to heaven. Great, great, see you later. That all the, look, this is very missionary oriented. That all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven, and that this assembly, my fellow Jews here that are cowering, may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Look what Solomon said when he dedicated the temple, and concerning the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your namesake, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the people of the earth may know your name to fear you as does your people Israel. That's very missionary. Psalm 98. Oh, sing a song, a new song. For he has done wondrous things. His right hand, his holy arm, has gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. No. He revealed his salvation to Israel. No, to the nations. The reason we know about the great salvation is because it was revealed to some people who have told us about it. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyful of the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing his joy and sing praises before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and his people with equity. The point is this. The reason God blessed them as the chosen, the reason God gave them the priesthood, the reason God made them his own possession, the reason God made them a nation was that they would be a light to the Gentiles, but they failed. They failed. They failed. They saw the world as a threat. They became what we find in the day of Jesus. The Gentile dogs very inwardly, and the Jews literally failed. And God just took away the temple, and God took them from by Nebuchadnezzar, and God, that was it, and he preserved them that he would bring ultimately the plan of bringing the Messiah. So then you have now to Gentiles, you have these words spoken to you, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That you have a unique title given to you. And there's some unique things about these titles that are given to you that are not given to the Jews. Now let me talk about this just for a moment. The Jews have been very unique because they're the only people that are a race. There's an ethnic race. You cannot be black and be Jewish. Now you can be black and convert to Judaism. But you cannot be black. Of the gene pool of the Jewish people, there is no Negroid in it. They are a nation. There was a nation given to them. Rarely has there been a religion that was established as a nation. You can have a religion that people believe certain things. There are people that are believing certain things, but now they were really the first nation. There was a nation given them. They were given as a priesthood. There was a spiritual inference. So what I'm saying is that the Jews are an ethnic group. They're a spiritual group. They're a national group. And their own possession of God is an identity that God gave to them. So now I want to look at us. Look what he says to here. He says, we are a race, we are priests, we are a nation, we are a people. But notice these words that he says here. You are not just a race, you are a chosen race. We'll talk about that. He says, you're not just priesthood, you're a royal priesthood. That's not quoted in the Old Testament, by the way. He never calls the Jews royal priesthood. He always says they're priests, but you are a royal priesthood. We'll talk about that. We are not just a nation, we are a holy nation. Everybody wants to be a theocracy. The United States of America will never be a Christian nation. Forget it, that's a theocracy. You know where there is a theocracy? The church is a theocracy. The church, the true people who believe in Jesus Christ, has made God in command of everything. We've elected Jesus Christ, even though we don't elect him. But by believing in him, we say, Lord, take over my life. Lead me in my life. I want to live for you. Now, if everybody in America did that, we'd be a theocracy. But don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. You can establish it on Christian principles, but it's not a theocracy. God never said there'd be the theocracy. So, but we are a holy nation, and a people for God's own possession. So let's look at this now. Let's talk about this, and if I have time, I'll get through it. I can see I don't have time, so I wanted to bring another message next week, but I don't think I'm going to be able to. So let's just run with this and see how far it gets to us. Let's talk, first of all, about a race. These are definitions that I looked up and spent time to analyze. A race. You are a chosen race. What is a race? A race is what mankind is. A race is any geographic or natural grouping marked by distinguishing features. Distinguishing features in relation to frequency within the same gene for scientific use. So, for instance, here it says that there are certain races of people that have certain distinctive identities. And these identities are basically in their genes. This is something of what they're made up. And here they say there's basically three races on the earth today. They are the Caucasian race, which is the white, the Negroid race. I didn't know what the word of a black, but it's Negroid. This is the scientific definition. And the Mongoloid. I didn't know that they're called Mongoloids. I know that Ken is looking to go to Mongolia, but a Mongoloid race is the yellow people. And so interestingly, I thought, isn't that interesting that Noah had three kids, three sons, and today we have three races. And so here you have the human race, the humankind, which is given to us, and here there are distinguishing marks that are given to them that within everybody's genes. It's all this. A black person cannot be white because the blacks have the gene. The Asian cannot be black because they have the gene of being a Mongoloid. A Mongoloid doesn't have what the Negroid doesn't have. And so what is our race? Our race is that we are chosen. The church is not made up of black believers. The church is not made up of white believers. It's not made of Jewish believers. It's made up of chosen believers. You get it? From every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation. Chosen believers. Just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. That is what is in our gene pool. You were chosen by God. You didn't seek God. The Gentiles didn't seek God. But He said, a people did not seek me. I came and revealed to myself to them. A people did not have mercy. I had mercy upon them. Wow, this is cataclysmic. The Gentiles that did not seek and were apart from God and alienated from God, God had His heart to choose them and to go to them. 2 Thessalonians, but we should all, now these are letters to Gentiles, by the way. Thessalonica is a Gentile place. If Ephesus is a Gentile place, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this that He called you. Notice all this. He called you. He chose you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. We didn't choose God. Oh, I chose Jesus. No, my friend, the only reason you chose Jesus is because He chose you. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of us like sheep have gone astray. None seek after God. We come from the womb speaking lies. And it takes the mercy of God that turns our hearts and sees the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My friend, by the grace of God, you are chosen. You are chosen. And my friend, thank God that it was up to God. Because my friend, if it's up to you, you could falter and fail. It's not up to you. It's up to God. And He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ. Because it's God's work. And all that the Father has given to me, I will lose not one. Even Judas was predicted that he would be lost. Except the son of perdition of whom it was foretold. Jesus said that. You are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. Now, what are the priests? I've said this many times. The priests were people that stood on behalf of the people of God to God. A prophet was someone that stood on the behalf of God to the people. A prophet was sent by God to speak on God's behalf. The priest was set up that God set up the priest that the people would have a representative. And so here we have this wonderful passage in Isaiah. But you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers to our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in your riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, there will be possessed a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. So here we're called priests. But now, interestingly, we are called here royal priests. So what is a royal priest? What it means to be royal? Royal means as pertaining or relating to a king. You have the royal kingdom. You have the royal household. Like in England, you have a royal edict and you have the royal family. We don't have that in America. We don't have a king. You have a king and a queen in England because it's set up. And so every Jewish prayer begins like this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, haloi Avraham Elohei Yitzhak. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, king of the universe. The word for king in Hebrew is melech. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Melech ha'olam, king of the universe. So what is royalty? It is God, the king. He is the king. And interesting, when you pray that prayer, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, the king of the universe, you're really acknowledging that it is the king that rules all things, and you're a servant, and you humble yourself to the royalty of the king. So when a priest came in the Old Testament to offer a sacrifice, what sacrifice did he bring? He brought his lamb. He was given a lamb from somebody to bring his goat. When Mary came to bring an offering for the birth of Jesus, she brought her doves. And you bring your offering and your sacrifice and your relation or your, what you're commanded, you are to bring forth. You are to bring forth. You are to bring forth. But my friend, when we are priests now, we don't bring our offering. We bring the king's offering. And what is the king's offering? Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Exactly. The Lamb of God. This is God's offering. When we are called royal priesthood, we are now being taken from being priests that we offer our offering to coming and having the honor and the privilege of bringing forth the king's offering. The king's offering. We're a royal priest, and that's exactly what Abraham knew this when he said this about offering up Isaac. Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said to him, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You see, we need to bring a lamb. We need to bring a lamb. And what does Abraham say? God will provide for himself the lamb. This was the king's priesthood. This was the king's priesthood. God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. So this is the offering that we are royal priests. When we come, when I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me, when I ask my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, forgive me of my trespasses. I forgive those who might. What basis? Because I come offering the sacrifice of your offering. The king's offering, Jesus Christ. I offer to you your son. I offer to you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I offer to you Melech HaOlam. It's interesting. I knew there was something I was going to say. You know, the name for Solomon in Hebrew is Shlomo. It's not a very pretty name if you know much about Hebrew. It's Shlomo. Can you imagine walking into King Solomon? I just say this. When you walk into King Solomon, you say, Melech Shlomo. I've always laughed about that because it's a very unpleasant sounding thing. And I bet you that God did that to keep this great king humble. You know, here is the wisest man, and here he built the temple. He says, I'm something. No, you're just Melech Shlomo. And every time someone comes into your office, and every time someone comes to offer you something, just keep reminding how funny your name sounds. You're just Melech Shlomo. So I should have said that earlier because this is a high point of the message, but it came to my mind. Scrap the tape. Let's start over again. No, that's all right. So look what it says here in Hebrews 4. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, this is the king's offering. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world by a new and living way, not the old priest, not the old donkey, the old lamb, the old goat, by a new and living way, which he, Christ inaugurated through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with... Come with confidence. My friend, you can come with confidence to pray. You can come to confidence to ask God. You can come to confidence on behalf of bringing the king's offering. And this is something, of course, really, that I think we can all learn for and know more. And that is one of the great things of being a priest of God and being a royal priest of God, is that we're able to pray. Pray. Every time you pray, you're offering up to God. Every time you pray. Every time you pray for somebody in the church, you pray for a missionary, you are, what a privilege we have. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We seek God in the person of Jesus Christ. We come in the glory of Jesus Christ. Praying, what a privilege as a priest, you can come to pray, pray, pray. And even if you're old and you can't do everything you can do, my friend, you can lie in bed and pray. You can pray. Revelation 8, verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints of the golden altar which was before the throne. The prayers, all the prayers that have gone up before God. Look. And the smoke of the incense, God is smelling your prayer. God is inhaling your prayer. With the prayers of the saints, went up before God out of the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it on the earth. You know what that is? God hears our prayers and then he responds. He threw it on the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flash of lightning and an earthquake. 1 Peter 2 again. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation. What is a nation? A nation is a developing community of people with distinctives that are common pertaining to culture, economics, and their language. Let me repeat again. It's a developing community of people with distinctives that are common pertaining to culture, economics, and or language. Let me give you an example. Spain, they speak Spanish. And people that live in Spain who speak Spanish are called Spaniards. Mexico speaks Spanish. But they are not called Spaniards. They're called Mexicans. And Mexican food is different than Spanish food. And Mexican culture, notice, you see, their commonality can be their name to their language. Their commonality is not their language, but their culture. Mexicans, Spaniards, and yet they say the same language. But they're not related. They're a different nation, a different people. Notice what it says in Genesis 12, 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so shall you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and to the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What is the commonality? The commonality that we are a nation that has been blessed is because we are a holy nation. This is where I talk about a theocracy. A theocracy is where we are have a democracy. A democracy is where the people elect the leaders. A theocracy is where God is not elected. God rules. God is a beneficent dictator. God is a beneficent, you don't elect God. God is going to do his will. No one can say, what doest thou? No one can counsel God. I am the pot. I am the clay, he is the potter. I am the pot, he is the potter. He has made me, and he has decided, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, I will not have mercy on whom I will not have mercy. I didn't say that, God said that. And so, you don't have a theocracy. America is not a theocracy, but the church is a theocracy. We are a place that God rules. And you know where God rules? Because we are in the image of him. We are holy. Look what Peter said in this very passage. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust that you yourselves are in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Why? For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The distinctiveness of a Christian is that they are holy. My friend, listen. Listen. This is what makes us unique. You know, it was interesting. They're having this movie coming out on the Passion, the Da Vinci Code, and someone said, You know, what would happen if Hollywood made a movie discrediting Muhammad? And they said how Muhammad was a womanizer and a sham, and he was a liar. You know what I'm telling you? They would kill everybody. They would blow up Beverly Hills. They would. I'll tell you this. If Steven Spielberg or this guy, Ron Howard, who was this little Opie on the Andy Griffith Show, this guy's now the producer, and if they made a movie on this, they would all be dead. But they don't do it. They do it. They can revile Christ. And they can make this about Christ and discredit Christ and put a cross of in a urinal and call that art. You know why? You know what the guy said? Very brilliant answer. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Wow, what an answer. Go ahead, discredit my Christ. Go ahead, humiliate him. Go ahead, speak all sorts of vials. I'm going to be holy. You're not holy. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. And when Christ was reviled, he reviled not again. When one man hits you on one side, turn the other cheek. That's pretty powerful, I think. Pretty powerful. It really reflects, if I could say this, how the Christians react and how Muslims react. Who knows the truth? Who knows the truth? The Jews knew God, and yet, you know what it said about the Jews? They were always trying to kill Jesus. That's very spiritual. Read about it. How many times they sought to kill him? They sought to kill him, but we have Abraham as our father. You don't know Abraham as your father. You're the father of the devil. You're a murderer like he was. We are holy, my friends. Holy, holy, holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And the next thing is, we are God's own possession, a people for God's own possession. What's a people? In relation to a certain place or class, the people of Cleveland, the people of class, the people of a certain economic order. We have certain identities and certain relationships. So what are we? We are a people of God's own possession. The thing that unites us is that we are Christians. We belong to Jesus Christ. We're not Methodists, we're not Lutherans, we're not Catholics, we're not this, we're not that. We belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not a Jewish believer, you're not a Gentile believer. We are persons who belong to Jesus Christ, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good deeds. Notice, to purify himself, a people for God's own possession, zealous of good deeds. Look what Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. My friend, you're in good hands with Allstate. You're in Christ's hand, and he is in his Father's hands, and you are God's own possession. You belong to him. He is committed to you. He has directed his love to you. And he, therefore, wants you to have all the blessings of what we are as God's chosen people, as God's royal priesthood, as God's holy nation, and God's own possession. Let me just talk in conclusion. I did get through it, and hallelujah. But I had to run. And not walk. You know, a race is a word that's also used. I said that the Jews are a race because of their ethnicity. And it was interesting when I looked up an ethnic group is this is what an ethnic group is. This is, I didn't realize this. An ethnic group is usually in reference to a minority group as compared to a larger group. It's a minority group. As compared to, I never thought that why we refer to people of their ethnic group is because they are the smaller group. Compares, for instance, there are Bosnians in Phoenix here, and they are, well, we could say they're an ethnic group because there's not a country of Bosnians. Now, if there are Jews in Bosnia, they would be an ethnic group because Bosnia is not Jewish. And if you are a Arab in Israel, you're an ethnic group because the Israel is Jew. So you see how that works? So interestingly, why are we called as a race, the chosen race? Because we are a minority group. God didn't choose everybody. God has chosen us. Humbly, humbly, humble us. We are priests. We offer to God in prayer spiritually. We are a nation with a theocracy. God rules at Grace Church by His grace. God rules in your house. God rules in your heart. God rules in your mind. God rules in your work. God rules in you. And you're a people because all of this, as a people, spiritually, ethnically, nationally, we identify with Jesus Christ. We identify with Jesus Christ. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for God's own possession. What miracle of miracles. Amen. I want to encourage you to realize who you are, what you are. And by the grace of God, it is all because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. Who would have thought, who would have thought that this great plan of yours would bring forth such a great church of people from every kindred, tribe, and tongue and nation, Jews and Gentiles, from all people, from every place. And so the church has one foundation, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And so, Lord, we are a small group, your chosen ones. We are spiritually your priests. We are a nation that is holy, and we are people that belong to you. Make that real to us, Lord. Make that true to us, Lord. And bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as He surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in His love. You are dismissed. And come to the concert tonight if you wish.